Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. With me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. And how are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am terrific.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. And I'm glad that you are both here today. And John, especially glad that I didn't scare you off yesterday when I got my Sirius Trek nerd on.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't usually flaunt my Trek skills, but when I do, hold on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So anyhow, if you missed that yesterday, basically what happened was Brian and I totally went bonk bonk on the head with John. And then I started reciting episode poetry.
I thought I was being bobmotized at the Renaissance Festival, but I didn't quite catch it quick enough.
Yeah. I have stories, but we're not going to go there. Anyhow, where we will go is into the dark hole that has become BlackBerry. So it's no secret that BlackBerry has been floundering over the past few years and has been in what I consider a death spiral for quite a while. And today they announced that they are going to stop making hardware. So you won't be able to buy a BlackBerry phone from BlackBerry anymore. They will be a service company, which has been where they've been making most of their money for a while anyhow. And they're going to let other companies make BlackBerry-compatible phones.
The clock ticks 1 minute closer to midnight, just like the bulletin of the atomic scientists.
Yep. And, and of course, John, I know exactly what you're visualizing, but as you said, the clock ticks closer to midnight, I totally went to the Watchmen. And and there's a subset of our listeners that totally get what I just did.
The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists is a publication that expresses how close we are to all-out thermonuclear war, and they have this clock that keeps ticking closer and closer to midnight. And when there's cataclysmic world events or threat of nuclear war, they move the minute hand closer to the midnight clock. So that's what I was thinking about.
I saw War Games.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about when I heard this thing from BlackBerry. And it's awful lot like Next, too. It's the death throes. Because then you get into a situation where you have to go hat in hand to those other manufacturers who already have their favorite operating system for their phone, and you have to convince them to switch to yours. It's a very bad situation.
And it's not helped by the fact that BlackBerry started making Android phones over the past year. So
right.
I think it was what
they started
October-ish.
By.
Yeah.
Well, and when you think about it, like, the companies who make phone hardware now seem pretty committed to that. Like, when I think of a Samsung phone, I think of Apple. No, it just looks a lot like an Apple phone. Apple makes iPhones, the end. I always think of Samsung as making Android phones. I think of Motorola as making Android phones. I think of HTC as making Android phones. And I don't know a whole lot of other companies or if any of those companies have a wide enough variety of phones. I mean, I guess they do. Samsung has released a new phone since we started this podcast, right?
Right. It may or may not be on fire.
That too. You know, I don't know that anybody who does actually create phone hardware is going to have room in their manufacturing to go start making phones that will run BlackBerry OS. I think you're going to end up with some sort of, at least in the United States anyway, dramatically lesser known brand. You know, whether you like their phones or not, Sony is a brand that you know. You know, lots of people who have Android phones, no HTC, no Motorola, no Samsung, people with iPhones, no Apple. I don't know who you could even get to make a phone that would run BlackBerry OS. And this sort of, it strikes me as a smart move for them, because I'm under the impression that making physical products is very expensive. But at the same time, it sort of sounds like this is them just really drawing out putting the company to bed.
Yeah, yeah, because if you're a phone maker, you're going to use Android. It's got 60% of the market. Why would you even dream of putting BlackBerry on any product in your product line? Yeah.
Yeah, I could see creating apps that tie into BlackBerry's services, if that's important for your enterprise. But other than that, I just don't see companies in the long run wanting to make BlackBerry phones. If BlackBerry couldn't make stuff that people wanted to buy and everyone has moved on, then why would third-party companies think that it's worth it for them to invest in making phones that no one wants anymore?
Maybe they're hemorrhaging so much money on the hardware side that the executives have decided that if we get out of the hardware business now and convince people that we can do a software business, we'll buy ourselves just a few months to write ourselves golden parachutes and transfer the money that would have been spent on hardware losses into our coffers, and then we'll bail.
Which is possible. They did say a year ago that they were going to decide within 1 year what to do about their hardware business. So they were already thinking about ditching hardware a year ago. And now here we are, 12 months later, their hardware business has not improved at all, and so they've decided to cut that cord. And John, I agree with you. This is one of many steps along the way to their final demise. Yeah.
And when you look at other companies who make hardware, you know, like the other one that I think of, because I know there are more. I look forward to your letters. But I really only think of three flavors of smartphone, because in realistic actual use, that's basically all there is. There's iOS on hardware from Apple. There's Android on hardware from a variety of makers that we've already talked about, and there's Windows Phone, and even Microsoft. I've heard rumblings most of this year, I think, that Microsoft is like, we got to stop making handsets.
I heard that they're going to stop in November. The last Lumia will be made in November.
Yeah, because nobody's buying a Lumia phone, apparently. So I think it would make sense for BlackBerry to, again, stop making handsets. But I really hope that it's because they are going to be able to transform into something else. I never had any hatred for BlackBerry. They were just not for me. Like, I live in a world of nails, and everybody's like, what do you mean you don't need this screwdriver? Like, it's not that I hate screwdrivers. I just don't have any place for one in my life, because everything I have is a nail. So I realize that's probably a terrible analogy, but it was the best I could do. I'm only halfway into my cup of coffee today.
I think
I want them to be around. I want them to be competition, because it doesn't do anybody any good to only have one dog in the fight, you know? So that's what I hope that this means, that BlackBerry will be able to do better and come out with something awesome. I mean, we've seen most technology companies go through this low period of like, oh, they're done. I mean, think about it. We've been hearing that about Apple since 1997, and look where they are now. So I really sincerely hope that this does mean something good for BlackBerry. I hope that's the case. I expect it is not.
You know, there's another thing that's kind of been bouncing around in my head with this whole BlackBerry spiraling to its death. And it's that this didn't have to happen. BlackBerry was the big name in this market, and they could have stayed the big name, but I think they got lazy. And they
we know they
were,
did.
Yeah, they were riding on their size and their success. And mm-hmm. they didn't think anyone could overtake them. And they certainly didn't take Apple seriously. And the next thing you know, the iPhone is just eating up the smartphone market. And BlackBerry was not in a position to be able to react because they waited too long. And the fact that they were lazy and arrogant mm-hmm. was their downfall. And this, to me, is an important lesson that Apple needs to learn from. Apple needs to make sure that they do not follow that same path, even though the iPhone is the big player and mm-hmm. Apple is so big right now that it doesn't look like they could ever fail. But if they let themselves fall into that mindset, we could over time end up seeing Apple doing the same things that BlackBerry has done or make the same mistakes.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things I always thought about the process that was going on in the minds of the BlackBerry executives at the time was that they had a difficult time sizing up the technical prospects and future of the Apple iPhone. The way it was designed without a physical keyboard, you got to have executives who are working side by side with some very talented engineers and sit down and, you know, the executives have the final say, but they don't always have the technical acumen to make the leadership decision for the company. And when you realize that you don't, you have to sit down with your engineers and your chief technical officer and really size up the value of the threat. And in this case, I think what happened was that they firmly believed that the mechanical keyboard was the way to go, that their server-based system was the way to go, and their security system was the way to go. And they didn't properly size up the technical threat from Apple and decided not to respond to it. They may or may not have had the money and the engineering talent to do that, but that's what you got to do when you're a company. You got to have so much engineering talent that you've accumulated within the company, and they're very enthusiastic and working side by side with the management team, that when a threat does come along, you go to your engineers and you say, what's going on here? Is this something we need to respond to, or is this something we can blow off? And I think that's the process they went through, and they screwed that up.
They did.
So
they were also... go ahead, Kelly. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to point out that, John, when you say that, when you describe it that way, what it sounds like to me is the wave we get as Apple people after a product announcement where the tech press dismisses things because if they're not for me, they're clearly not for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't get a new Mac Pro from Apple, so clearly Apple is doomed, even though at its peak, they never sold a ton of Mac Pros in the first place. So I think that you're absolutely correct in that assessment that BlackBerry didn't have any vision because they didn't see anything beyond what they had, which at that point, for people who are new to the Apple game, first, hello and welcome, and second, when Apple came out and said, here's our new phone, it's a phone, it's an internet communicator, are you getting it? When they did all of that, everybody went, why would Apple make a phone? That's insanity. BlackBerry makes all the phones, all the smartphones. There really wasn't anything but a BlackBerry at that point. You either had a phone or a BlackBerry. Your phone probably had a hinge in the middle, a terrible screen, a crappy camera. And
well, remember
that was
what
it.
Phil Schiller said, I think there was a time around 2006, 7, 8 when Phil Schiller mentioned that all the smartphones that they had, the executives, they hated them.
Yeah,
and they had BlackBerrys. BlackBerrys and Treyas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you have a pretty specific vision about what you want to do mm-hmm. and what you want to achieve, and you have the engineering talent to make it happen, watch out.
Mm-hmm. And it was really sort of interesting to me to watch at the time because I went, you know what? I know some people who have BlackBerrys, and I never wanted a BlackBerry, and that's why I have a dumb phone, is because I think the BlackBerry is ridiculous. I don't generally have a belt on, so I have nowhere to clip it. and it won't fit in my pocket. So how do I carry it around? Like, start at the absolute beginning. I feel like it's a giant clunky device in my teeny little hand. I don't care about a BlackBerry. That was
really my assessment. You have to have kind of a sci-fi vision about your future too. You look at a BlackBerry and you realize that your customers are sitting there on airliners, you know, typing away on their email and so on and so on. And you think that soft buttons on a screen are, you know, kind of crazy. But if you have this technical vision that physical buttons are passe, and you've been watching the evolution of technology in the real world and in science fiction, and you look at the failure modes, you got, you know, 40 buttons. And if one of them fails badly, you know, the device is junk. And then you've got grease and you've got fingerprints and you've got dust and you've got all these problems. And you say to yourself, we got to get rid of these buttons eventually. Then that sets your agenda. But they never did that either.
No. And they also had another problem from my perspective, which is that they were essentially a one-trick pony. And when they failed to continue to nurture their pony, which now my analogy is starting to sound kind of creepy. Anyhow, they started to have trouble. Apple, on the other hand, is not a one-trick pony, and they are always looking for the next market to disrupt. So at some point, it just seems reasonable because we have thousands of years of human experience to back this up. At some point, the iPhone will be a product that just isn't the thing anymore.
I've written about that, Jeff. Several times I've commented that I thought that the iPhone eventually would be a device half the size that would fit in your pocket without a display. And it would be doing all the processing, and there would be some way to present the information that you need, you know, floating in space in front of you, as opposed to looking at a little LCD display. Mm-hmm. How that's going to happen, we don't quite know yet. Google tried it with Google Glass, but that's maybe not the way to go. A modulated technical RF stream that tickles the optic nerve and creates the sensation of something floating in front of you is probably a couple decades away. What we'll do in the near term, I don't know. I saw the other day that Snapchat was selling
sunglasses with camera. They're talking.
Okay, just talking about it.
Yeah, they're going to, and it's called Spectacle, or Spectacles. Yeah. I can't remember if it's plural. And so it has a camera at each corner, so where the hinges are, and it records 10 seconds of video at a time.
If we get to the point where we have cosmetically suitable, lightweight glasses that people can wear that can display beautifully what was on the iPhone screen, that could be the next step.
Maybe, but as someone that has worn glasses the majority of my life, if I didn't have to wear glasses, I would not. So I think Apple's going to come up with something different.
Well, you know, we're talking about...
I did wear glasses and I don't know, and I don't want to start again.
We were talking this morning in the meeting about using an AirPod to connect to some Apple device and, you know, having this comm badge-like, you know, audio communication constantly in your ear is a method of interface. So, you know, eyeglasses are not that weird for people compared to having something in their ear all the time, except for those businessmen that walk around with Bluetooth headsets all the time chatting while they're in this grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. If you do glasses, now you need to either make the glasses so they photo gray, so you have sunglasses, or you need two pairs.
Yeah,
I have three pairs of glasses: my regular glasses, my computer glasses, and my sunglasses.
It's an interesting technical challenge.
Yeah,
maybe you can wear a necklace that fits around your neck that has a sort of an optical device that throws a holographic presentation out in front of you so that you don't have to wear glasses. There's all sorts of things that are going to go on, but I firmly predict that this business about walking around with a 5-inch LCD display held in your hand only has another 5 or 7 years of lifetime.
You know, speaking of short lifetimes, we've gone for the whole show.
Wow.
I know. But before we wrap up, we need to note that it was 19 years ago today that Apple aired its first Think Different ad.
And boy, were they cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah, they were. And now we have ads that are so very different from that. But that's okay, because it was a very different time for Apple. And they really need to get us to think differently back then, so that we could have these 20-minute discussions about how they've completely dominated the smartphone market today.
Yeah, it was a big turnaround for the company. Those ads were instrumental in saving the company, along with the iMac.
They were very, very striking. We'll have a link to one in the show notes, which actually is one that didn't officially air. It was originally narrated by Steve Jobs. And in fact, I, for people who don't know, have a very special place in my heart for these ads. I have three of the Think Different posters that Apple released on the walls in my office.
I've got one. I've got the Richard Feynman photo in my office.
I'm not surprised in any way.
Richard Feynman would it be, huh? John, it's John.
I know.
Well, yeah. You had to settle for Feynman because they didn't do one of Mr. Spock.
Right.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So the three that I have, I got one last year for my birthday from my husband, and it's Alfred Hitchcock. And I have the Jim Henson one. And with Kermit, and I also have the Ansel Adams one, because I thought it's a picture of him that he took, and I thought it would be a fun way to be able to tell people why, yes, I do have an Ansel Adams on the wall at my house.
Yes you do.
So that's them. I always thought they were very striking because of the narrative that goes behind it. For people who don't remember, it was the Here's to the Crazy Ones speech. That's the bit that I always thought was really notable about them. Even, I mean, the Richard Dreyfuss version is good, is very good, but I think the Steve Jobs one is great. And you can still find text of some of this scattered around OS X, I believe. Even now, I think you can still find it in some of the icons. Like, there's a clipboard icon that I think has it. And there's the all my files icon with the file drawer. You can see, if you zoom way in, some of that text is Here's to the Crazy Ones, the Misfits, et cetera, et cetera. And I think they're wonderful. And it was the thing that I really like about it is that I heard a story ages ago about how, the original like pitch for the ads was, they wanted to, that Apple under a different CEO wanted a new ad campaign about how we're back, and everybody thought it was great. And then Steve Jobs came back and found out about this and said, that's stupid. Apple isn't back. Apple never left. And he was the one that pushed for a different sort of campaign. And, got this one happening. The other thing I like about these is that they all have the 6-color Apple logo, which I miss very much, and I wish they would bring back.
Good times. Yeah. Hey, yeah. We're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Kelly, okay. Thank you so much for being here.
It was my pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here, too.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.